I was in the spirit. Can I add one more prayer to that? Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, as we open up your word now, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, we need to hear from you. And I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would deliver this message to this church the way you delivered it to me this week. We love you so much. We pray everything in Jesus' name. Amen. If you guys have your Bibles, would you open them up to the book of James? We're going to finish James today. And is anybody just, I've been blessed by James. It's been some tough messages in there, but man, I want to grow in my faith. So as we read some of the stuff that's hard and you're like, man, you can see yourself in there. You know what? It's okay. It's okay to be sore after you work out because it means, oh, bye, kiddos. We're just blowing it. The two songs threw me off. What can I say? That's okay. What can I say? I'm not perfect. Have fun. Okay. Bridge kids are dismissed. Hi, my name is JJ. How's everybody doing? Good. And the 3 o'clock thing still sort of throws me off at times, but it's good. I'm pumped that we're here together. But we're gonna finish up in the book of James today, and I've enjoyed all the teachings. Personally, I've been stretched, I've been convicted, all these things, but I would have preached all of those messages just to preach to get to do the one that I get to do today. So if you have your Bible or way to get God's word in front of you, open it up. James chapter 5. I'm going to read the text. We're going to dedicate this time to Jesus, and then we're going to send it. So James chapter 5, starting in verse 13, says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up or her up. And if he or she has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let them know that whoever brings back a sinner from their wandering will save their soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. God, your word is true. It endures to all generations and it transforms people. We ask that you would transform us with it now. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, I think we struck a really good chord when we were talking about, we ended last week with Job's perspective change. When we endure hardships and trials, remember Job's perspective, God, what is going on? He wasn't given an answer. This is why I'm doing this. Instead, what God did is he helped Job see, gave him the opportunity to see life, not through his own perspective, but with an eternal perspective that God is in control and doing a bigger thing. The now perspective versus the eternal perspective. And that's what we're going to look at today. But not as it relates to the individual, but as it relates to what James is talking about here, the body of Christ, the church body. Instead of the now perspective versus the eternal perspective, we're going to look at the me versus the we perspectives of life. It's important because the world that we live in is, according to data, the most integrated world that has ever been. I can pull out my phone and I follow people from different places around the world. You can be in contact worldwide like that. We're the most integrated, yet we are the most disconnected than ever before as well. Loneliness skyrocketing. Self-harm, suicide, all-time highs. People are more disconnected yet more connected and still yet somehow more isolated than ever before. And this is by design on humans' part. We love this word autonomy. This word autonomy means a self-directing freedom, a moral independence, personal autonomy. I'll be me, you be you, I'll do what works for me, you do what works for you. A self-governing state is another definition. Basically, it's like this. It's a person who governs themselves or a person who plays for themselves. Play for yourself. There is a serious lack of team mentality. You do everything based on you. And if you are like me, and you like sports at all, you know that the beginning of the downfall of any great team is when players stop thinking about themselves, or start thinking about themselves and stop thinking about the team as a whole before they think about themselves. So I want to preach a message today called Jersey Day. Jersey Day. What is that? Jersey Day is the day that jerseys are handed out to players. Anybody ever been on team sports in here before? If you have been on a team sport, you know this day. It is awesome. Actually, here, this will help me. A couple of disclaimers. Number one, every Denver Broncos jersey in the entire world was sold out due to their popularity. So I had to find this. I found this one out back. I'm just kidding. Eat it up. Phones are coming out. Anyone from Colorado watching, this is purely for the Lord. We know that God loves the Broncos. Otherwise, why would sunsets be orange? Okay. Jersey Day. It's an important day. The day that the box is opened up, the jerseys are pulled out, everyone's gathered around, and you start tossing your jersey. You get your number. You get your team colors. A jersey identifies two things. A jersey identifies the individual, number three, and the team. It's on the front. Not very big on this one. Looks different for different teams, but it identifies two things. The individual, particular strengths, a particular position, particular abilities. But the individual number is always used to help strengthen or get a team victory. The jersey identifies the second thing. It's a team. It identifies that you are part of something bigger than yourselves, a bigger cause. And when you get on a team, you sign up for everything that comes your way. Did you win every single game you ever played? If you're a normal person, the answer is no. Every once in a while, there are freak teams where people are like, this kid never lost a game in his entire life. But I remember the last organized competitive team that I played for was my high school baseball team. And we got beat. I think we lost every game. And there was a team mentality in the locker room before the game of like, hey, you guys, let's go out there and like have fun and stuff, but we're going to lose. And I hated that mentality. And hopefully it changed after I left, but I wouldn't stand for it. It was this sense of we're not that good individually, so what do we have to give as a team? But when you sign up for a team, you sign up for the highs and the lows. That's why any true fan, true Hawks fan, I could become a Hawks fan now. I've lived in Washington for 12 years or something like that. But it would be like moving up after they win the Super Bowl and jumping on the bandwagon. Everybody likes the fans that were there when nobody else was there, who showed up at church at 3 o'clock when we were down to half of our numbers of where we were and where we're going to be. Amen? The diehards, the ride or dies, the one that may not be convenient for your clock, but you're playing for something bigger than yourself. You're playing for the name on the front of the jersey, not the one on the back. Last week we talked about personal adversity. Do you remember when I said I cannot wait for next week? Because here's what we're learning. There shouldn't be a whole near as much personal adversity as you think. We were not meant to go through the ups and downs alone, but together. That's what James is signing off on when he ends this letter. And that's how it ended. We just read it. Whoever brings someone back from falling away will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And then he's not like, until next time, blah, blah, blah. No mic drop. He's just, that's it. Letter over. He was ending by saying, you're in this thing together. So there are three things that this text captures beautifully that I want to preach about having a jersey. Number one, a jersey has two names on it. All the players have their own individual jersey. They all look the same. Do you see this text? Go back and look at it in verse 13. Is anyone among you? You see that word right there? When you read down through the text, that word shows itself a few times. But this word among, it is within your ranks, inside of you. Not like, is there anyone around? Is there someone out there? Is there someone on your team, in your crew, in your posse? See, the name on the front represents belonging and unity. And the name on the back represents the giftedness of an individual. They are always meant to go together, and they are never meant to be separated. It's important that we understand that because I think about this past year. I think about where we're at right now as a church. I think about where we're going to be in a year from now, in 2 years from now, 3, 5, down the road. I believe God is doing rad things, and he is going to keep doing amazing things. But I look back at this past year, and I notice, even within our church, a spirit of timidity. I couldn't find words for it this week. I was at a pastor's prayer gathering, and we were praying, and the word came to mind, timidity. And I threw it out. I'm like, is that a word? And yes, it is. And I was like, what do I mean by that? Timidity. There's this sense, because of all of the commotion and chaos this last year, that if you're excited about something, someone's going to blast you for being excited about something. And so it's like, can I be excited about being able to be outside during the COVID months in my town, where we live in a community where you can be outside, you can be a safe distance from other people, and you can be enjoying something? Can I be excited about that, or can I not be excited about that because there's some people over here who live in different circumstances, they can't be outside? Is me being excited about something going to put someone else down? And so there's so much back and forth, and this is what I think it is. We have become timid because everyone throwing this word fear around this year. I'm over this word. Oh, you're just scared. People want to tag someone else for what they're scared for. You're scared of this. You're scared of that. Those people don't know what they're talking about. I do think it's fear-based, but I don't think it's scared of personal harm. Like, oh, you're just scared. People will say don't get me started. People will say very inconsiderate things to one another. Oh, you're just scared of this. You're scared of this. We all know what I'm saying. I'm just trying not to use words. You're just scared of this, so you won't go do it. Oh, do you shake people's hands, or are you scared? Someone's been asked. And I want to be like, look, dude. No, I'm not scared. I'm respectful. But we've become timid, not because we're scared of ourselves, but in the body of Christ, we want to be a blessing and a serving, so we have become timid. It is fear-based, but we're doing it because here's why. We don't want to offend someone else. We are trying to think big picture, play the long game, think of the team, but in turn, we become timid because we're scared of how others might react. Gosh, you guys, it's affected me so bad. It's affected the way I've been preparing. It has affected the way I have preached in weeks past. It has affected so much, but the spirit of timidity is over. It's done. And it's not that we're going to start being a jerk to people. It's we're going to be bold in love. And I think you will see what I'm talking about as we go through this. Because this spirit of being timid and sheepish is not from the Lord. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right thinking. This is a tactic to separate the unity we have in Jesus. The sleepiness that I feel sometimes even in here on a Sunday, that has to be fought back against with a team mentality. That can't just be something that I'm like, when people walk in, I'm like, yo, welcome to the bridge. This is a room full of life and light and families and people that love God and love each other. And we're kind of in here just all, meh. That's not from the Lord. We need to fight back in that. This last year has brought us to a place that unless we pull together in the Lord, we're going to stay in this place. And it's not going to be when people are looking for life and real community and belonging and we're saying, hey, come with us. If we don't get it first, we can't manufacture it or sell it to the world. It's got to be legit, it has to be experienced, and it has to be shared. We need to get our jerseys out. One of my favorite movies of all time is the movie Miracle. Any of you guys seen it? It's about the 1980 U.S. hockey team. And they were playing the Russian team, and the Russians were unbeaten. And this ragtag team of college players from the U.S. were hand-selected to beat this team. And people are like, why'd you pick them? Individually, none of these guys are that great. And the coach said, I picked each one of them because they make the team that can beat them. There's this amazing scene into the movie where they were at a game, they weren't paying attention, they were scoping chicks in the stands, and they, instead of paying attention to their game, and they get done, and the coach says, you don't want to practice during the game? You don't want to learn during the game? That's okay, we'll learn now. And he does this thing for the next hours. He makes them skate back and forth. The janitor's like, I want to go. I want to leave. And he's like, turn off the lights, leave me the keys, I'll lock up when we're done. And they skate back and forth. And the coach asks the players this, what's your name? And one of them answers, who do you play for? And the guy's like, I play for you, coach, here at the U. Next guy, what's your name? Says his name, what do you play for? Boston University, coach. And they get skating and skating and skating. They're puking on the ice. Finally, hours into it, this one guy goes, Michael Ruzioni! Just yells his name. and the coach stops. It made me cry, dude. It's so good. And he's like, who do you play for? And he goes, the United States of America. See, it took all of this time for these dudes to realize they were playing for something bigger than themselves. And the church has got to wake up to this. Second point about this text. Amongst you. You ready? Streaks and slumps are part of the deal. Look at verse 13 again. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him. This word him, it means they. It can be used, he or she. This is anyone amongst you happy, suffering, sick? Have them pray over you, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if anyone has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. When you're on a streak, oh, nothing like it. When you're hitting good, when you're playing good, when you're just having one of those streaks, it's the best. When life is good, I notice in the world that we live in, we don't talk about it too much. Because there are people who it's not going so good for. And it's easy to be like, oh man, I'm sorry. Things are like, we don't share it because it might hurt someone. I do this too. When people are down, maybe I'll let the joy not be as much as it should be. If you believe that there is power in the team, streaks are celebrated in teams. It brings up the morale of those around you, those that are in a hard place, that being like, yeah, that joy, that what that person has, that brings up those that are around. Is anyone cheerful? This word means happy or in a good place. Your song, your success boosts the morale of your team, so don't hide your praise. Don't hide when it's good. Share it. It's good. We need it. We need good news. There's lots of bad news out there. We need to celebrate the good things that God is doing. When you're in a slump, it's the worst. It's the worst. You just feel like you can't do anything right. You're like, I know how to do it. It's just not working. What is going on? But you know what happens when you share that you're in a slump with people? It shows your transparency. When you're in a streak, it's good, but you don't always stay there. Everybody's in a slump sometimes. It's hard for everybody sometimes. You know what we do when it's hard? We hide. Why do you think one of the big reasons that the numbers are down so much, not just for us, but across the board? People did some stupid things this last year. And it'd be easy to stand back and point and be like, that was stupid. But I can go like this, because when you point, there's three fingers pointing back at you and one pointing at God, okay? I've done stupid things this year. We'll get to that. But it's easy to point it out, but it brings shame. I'm in a slump, so people go off and hide and they don't talk about it. Is anyone among you suffering? There's an action step here. It's to bring it to the Lord. It happens to all of us, so don't hide your hardships. Or when your mistake hurts the team. Did you see this one here? Is anyone sick? This word sick, it means so much more than like the flu. And it can mean that. And this, come to the elders of the church and have them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal those who are sick. People, will only use this in the medicinal sense. I don't feel good, or I have a physical ailment. So you come and you receive prayer, and the elders of the church anoint you with oil. And we will do that all day long because we believe that 100% that God works miracles that way. But this word sick, it actually means physically ill, weary, out of place, or to stumble. Is anyone physically sick? Is anyone weary? Let me tell you, I talked to someone who I love very much this week, and this is what they said. I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. It's so hard. I'm like, I miss you. Come be with us. I'm just so tired. Like nothing left in the tank. So what do we do when we're tired? We go and we be by ourselves where there's no one around. And the enemy's like, yeah, you're tired. Why don't you see that jersey? He used to be part of a team. You're not anymore. You don't even have a team. Why don't you put it away? Don't put it on. Put it away. When you're tired, when you're sick, when you're hurting, if you have the we perspective, the team perspective, and you're fighting for a common goal, and you know that your teammates are for you, that's the deal. We think we're against each other. I can't bring this to this person. They'll think I'm bad. That is a wrong perception all the way around. God, please help us to change this perspective of self into one of team in this place. Because then someone will come and they'll be like, dude, I'm hurting. I need help. I can't fix it. I don't even want to go to church. I haven't read my Bible in 6 months. But instead, this is what we hear. Online thing doesn't work for me. 3 o'clock doesn't work for me. And I get it. It doesn't sometimes. But it becomes a me. This doesn't work for me. And we forget about the name on the front. It's bigger than the one on the back. We're in this together. And then it says, he goes right into this thing about Elijah. Look at Elijah. He was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And you're like, what does that have to do with being sick or stumble? Here's the key for that. Elijah, he was a man with a nature like ours. If you're a note taker, put that. Nature like mine. What does that mean? It means he had streaks. He had hot streaks. Like he went toe-to-toe with the prophets of Baal. And these dudes were gnarly. They were like cutting themselves open, doing like blood sacrifice to the god of Baal. And Elijah was like trash-talking them, sort of. He was like, oh, maybe he's at lunch. You should yell louder and bang your drums more. Or maybe he's sleeping. You should be louder so you can wake him up. And you read it in the Children's Storybook Bible, or go back and read 1 Kings, chapters, 17, 18, a whole bunch through there you can read about Elijah. Here's what happens, toe-to-toe with these prophets. God brings down fire, and eats up the offering on the altar, and it was epic. And then this one queen hears about it, Jezebel, and here's what she says, Elijah, I'm going to kill you. He just saw the craziest thing ever happen, hot streak. This one person says, oh, when I see you, you're dead. And he freaks out. And he runs away. And he hides in a cave. And then God finds him and is like, yo, what are you doing here? He's like, Jezebel says she's going to kill me. He is a man with a nature just like ours. Great success. Great failure. Great times of faith. Times of great doubt. Times when he felt alone, and times when he encouraged others that they were not alone. Just like us. Sometimes we're batting 1,000, and sometimes it's just a big donut hole, nothing. You can't get a hit to save your life. But you're not in it for you. You have a team around you. that they're in it for you. Since streaks and slumps are part of the deal, you know what great teams do? They rally around each other. They pick each other up when they're knocked down. That's why this verse is epic. And the prayer of faith, verse 15, will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The prayer of faith of someone else on your behalf. That's talking about what someone believes on your behalf. When your belief about yourself is so far down that there's no help for you, if you or I or someone could come to a place where they bring that before God and someone else, there is someone waiting to take a big swing for you. Someone who's got a huge amount of faith to pray on your behalf. That's how much you mean to the team. The body, the body of Christ, our even smaller team, the Bridge family, people, if you're streaming online, I'm so pumped you're with us. We love you. But there are many who were here that aren't here, and I miss them. It's not complete without them. They have something to offer. Something to share, something to contribute. And it's heartbreaking, dude. When someone believes on your behalf, when your faith is weak, and it will be sometimes, don't hide it. Confess it. Lift it up to Jesus with your team. My faith has been weak this past year at times. You know, a lot of churches closed this year. Lots. There's so many stinking statistics out there. 1 in 5, something like that. That's crazy. That's a lot. Church attendance is down. 70% across the United States? That just seems so high. I'm like, that can't be true. Then I start looking. Oh, it's a little bit wider than that. They'll say 30 to 70% across the United States. It's like, what? What happened? Oh, I think the team wasn't as strong. We weren't as strong before as we need to be now. Because all this past year did was accelerate things that were already there. It exposed things that were already going on, and I think it was like a 5-year accelerator, maybe even more. It just did like, boom, things that were already in play. One of the things, and this is the only basketball thing I'll say, because I can't play. It's a winter sport. I was always skiing. But I heard this quote from LeBron when he went to the Lakers. And I was watching a video, and one of his teammates got knocked down, and he was on the ground. And he went to pick himself up, and LeBron said, "You stay there." And I was like, dang, that's harsh, dude. And he goes, "One of your brothers will pick you up." And then one of them, and he goes, "Pick him up, dude." And he picked him up and he called them all in and he goes, "From now on, when you fall, you stay down until one of your brothers comes and picks you up." And I'm like, that dude is the man. Because he understands we're in it together. Streaks and slumps, it's part of the deal. But if you hide it and don't share it, nobody knows. And the team doesn't get stronger. Here's my last point. Teams need. I'm like, what do we need in this next year? I think James says it for us right in this text. Teams need more captains and not more coaches. Teams need more captains, not more coaches. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders away from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let me read those same verses in the Message translation. Check this out. My dear friends, If you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. And you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and have prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Eugene Peterson, that's who wrote the Message. That's a sweet translation right there. What's the difference between a captain and a coach? First things first, a captain is on the field, playing. Not standing on the sidelines telling everybody else what to do. There's a place for coaches. But what we need, what this team, our team needs, is more captains. People that are engaged in what's going on. This jersey doesn't have it. There's a reason I picked Russ. Because Peyton Manning jersey wasn't available. But another reason I picked Russ, other than the one that Andrew gave me, because Andrew gave me a jersey to wear that fit me better. But he gave me a jersey of this one receiver that scored, that ran back the opening second half touchdown against the Broncos in the Super Bowl. I'm like, I ain't wearing that jersey. You must be out your mind. But I can get behind Russ. But Russ is a team captain for the Seahawks. See, this jersey doesn't have it. But if you look and you're watching games, there'll be a patch right here, and it'll have a C on it, and then underneath that patch will have amount of stars. Stars is the amount of years that someone has been captain on the team. So I was thinking about the good team captain and the stand-up dude that Russell Wilson is. So I looked up a couple of quotes. One thing Russ says is, my thing is, quote, and I've always been this way, to get to know as many people as I possibly can on a personal level. So that way, when you get on the football field, you've got your buddy right beside you and you're ready to go. See, captains set the example. Captains set the tone. We've talked a lot about tone teaching through the book of James. The tone is the atmosphere. You know, we have an atmosphere here that we want to set for people to enter into. What kind of atmosphere do we want to welcome people into? You have an atmosphere at your home. When you walk in, you want your house to, your atmosphere to say something about who you are, what you represent, what you stand for. Captains set the example. Captains set the standards for what is expected. They keep standards high, and captains are well respected by their teammates. Some captains have the patch on their jersey, and they're always one of the captains. I'll put myself out there. I'm a captain for this church. I want to set the example as best I can. Doesn't mean I don't have streaks and slumps, but I want to be there. I want to know as many people as I can. I want to do all that I can to build up those around me. But you know, there's other captains on the team that are selected week to week to week. I was reading something about NFL captains this week, and some teams have the same one every year. Other ones don't have the same one every year, and every week before the game, new team captains are picked. They're the ones that go out and represent their team for the coin toss and the different things like that. But I was like, if streaks and slumps are a thing, captains change all the time. Who is strong in this season? Who is standing up for the people around them? Who is investing in those around them? Those are the captains. So captains set the example. Captains are mentally strong. Somebody say, steady now. Those that set the atmosphere and set the tone oftentimes are the steadiest. They're the ones that say, gosh, what is the thing that we say? You're not as good as your greatest praise, and you're not as bad as your biggest flop or whatever. They're steady, the right mind. They're the ones that say, we're taking them 1 week at a time, you know. We're looking toward the next one. We're playing the long game. They're the steady ones that aren't like, oh my gosh, life's so hard, it's over. Oh my gosh, life's so good, they're going to win. And they're just, and the world is so like that right now. Everybody's way up here, yeah, and everyone's way down, oh, it sucks, and everyone's way up here. And there's just like, where's the steady? Where's the ones that are like, hey, we're going this way. We want to set the tone and bring others along. And the third thing about captains is they know their teammates. They are the ones that know those around them. It's the last point, and it's important because I'm going to tell you guys something. This past year, I believe people have hurt you. People have hurt me. Said things that just like, dang, that stings. There's been expectations somehow this past year that we're supposed to navigate perfectly. It's like you walk into a situation and the unspoken is, okay, it's like American Ninja Warrior. There's the finish line. You're going to run from here to there, and we expect you to do a certain path. We expect the right answers, and you're like, well, what are the expectations? Oh, no, we're not going to tell you what the expectations are. You're just going to navigate. You got about a 50% chance of getting them right, depending on who's in the room. And that's what it's like. You're trying to navigate something with people are going, well, let's see how they do this. That was bad. That was bad. Should have done this. Should have done that. And it's just that it's all wrapped up in the perspective of me, what I think. And you're trying to navigate, trying to do the best thing, and then just darts come. And you're like, ow, that hurt. I thought we were like blue and gray. No? Okay. And so you just keep going. Maybe you've hurt people by firing back on Facebook, by getting way deep in a thread that you should have just kept scrolling, by telling your aunt, actually, you are psycho, or whatever you did, or your uncle, or whoever it is. Maybe you hurt someone. Maybe you haven't showed value to someone that's actually your teammate, or you have felt not valued as a teammate. People are going to come back through the doors. Maybe that have been here before, and maybe they haven't. I know this is like really real and stuff, but I'm like, whatever, dude. I'm sick of it. We're going to talk about it. People are going to come back through the doors that maybe you disagreed with. I saw like random stuff that I'm just like, oh. You know how many things we dealt with this year? For crying out loud. Let's argue about the election. Let's argue about shots. Let's argue about mass. Let's argue about all this thing. And there was so very little of like, hey, I love you guys. Let's rally around each other. But God is doing a work here. I'll say it again. God is doing a work here. And he's going to keep doing a work here. That means people are going to come and more chairs will be sat in. But when people come in, will they be written off? No. Forget you. I might say hi. Hey, how you doing? Fine. How are you? Fine. And then that's how we go to church together for the rest of our lives and never make an investment in one another. No. We don't want to sell a Christian atmosphere to the world. We want to be salt and light. Don't write them off. Will you write those off or will you humble yourself? Because the scripture says, as much as depends upon you, be at peace with everybody. That means if the ball is even halfway in your court, you don't freaking spike it on the other end and be like, boom, it's on your end now. We serve with a spirit of gentleness and say, hey, you know what? This happened. You said this, and I got really mad. And man, I'm sorry for what I said. And then you let it be, and then you let it breathe. But people are going to come back in that have showed hurt. Maybe it's not even at church, it's at work or in your family. The enemy's trying to divide. You know that, right? That's like what he does. And Jesus is trying to bring a spirit of unity and a bond of peace within the church. Russell also said this, "I'm here today because God has brought me here. Jesus has brought me here. I'm with an amazing team, and I believe he perfectly placed me in the right spot at the right time." Do you believe that? I do. Give me my team. I got my team. We're right here. This is who I want. This is who I want. I don't want 300 people in here right now because they're not supposed to be in here right now. This is who's supposed to be in here right now. I wish our whole church could hear this message because we need it. But this is who I want in here right now because this is where it starts. And because Russ said this, and the last one, crying out loud, thinking Russell Wilson, "The separation is in the preparation." That's good. That'll get you fired up. But not to be outdone, or to end with Russell Wilson, I got this one from the greatest quarterback of all times. His name's Peyton Manning. He said this, "The most valuable player." See, we love the MVP. Oh, they're so good. They carry the team on their back. They do this. If it weren't for them. He said, "The most valuable player is the one that makes the most players valuable." The one who has the we perspective, the us perspective, not the me perspective. If every setback does have a major comeback, I'm telling you guys, we are due for a major comeback. So I want to end with these. Worship team, can you guys come up and lead us in that song? When they come up, we are going to take communion today. All right, I know we haven't done that in a long time. There's communion on this table over here, this table over here, that's set up a little different so we can not be touching everything. But in the cups, just grab one set, and then the little bread is underneath, and then the little juice is on top. So during this song, when they start playing, come up, grab one. We bring it back to your seat, and then I'll come up. We'll finish it. We'll finish this stuff together. So in closing thoughts, Jersey. I think there's been a sense that people have been looking for the exits a lot lately. We're always looking for the exits. Like, where do I go if I don't agree with this next thing? Where do I go if something isn't done the way I feel like it should be done? And so we've just become real aware of where the exits are. And I think Jesus is asking us, "Cool, man, do you care about where the entrance is?" And so maybe the call to arms is to come back to Jesus. To come back and receive prayer and be like, "Dude, I did this. I'm not proud of it." It says you come and you confess, you get prayed over, you are forgiven. And it's not a do better, it's a do over, like we talked about last week. That's what grace is. That's what forgiveness is. That's what teamwork is. That's what the gospel is. Forgiven, new, restored, healed. Put back on that jersey. Remember who you are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness, your patience toward us. I heard a lyric in a song this week, and it just seemed so counter to even my mindset sometimes. I pray this over us. Help us, Lord, to receive more of your love. We always want to say, "Help me love you more, Lord." But would you help us to receive your love more? That there would be more depth, that you would go to a new level in our own hearts and minds and in our church. Thank you for calling us your own. Thank you for putting us on a team not based on our goodness, but based on yours, Jesus. We sing this song to you. In Jesus' name, amen.